Welcome, everyone, to the Cybubber Security Podcast. It's the cybersecurity podcast with a little extra BS. I'm Andrew Nuxel.
And I'm Nathaniel Dick. And today we're going to talk about cybersecurity recruiting and how to get into the cybersecurity industry. And we have a special guest with us today, Stephanie Zavala. Stephanie, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name's Stephanie Zavala. I am a principal consultant on the cybersecurity team here at Lawrence Harvey. I've been with the company for about a year, but in cybersecurity recruiting, I have almost 7 years under my belt. Started out in San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm now located in New York City. Excited to be here.
Thanks so much. We're excited to have you. We're both passionate about helping people find their next role in cybersecurity or their first role in cybersecurity. So you're a good fit. Conversation we've been having with many guests. So thanks for coming. With that, we'll get right into it. Stephanie, what are some of the current trends in hiring around cybersecurity that you're seeing?
Well, most recently, I would think that a lot of our clients are asking for cloud security and incident response. And that's actually a shift. A few years ago, when a lot of our clients were asking for application security and software security. So I've seen a shift now within the last year and a half or so that a lot more, and it's actually probably because I'm in New York rather than in San Francisco. Sure. When you think of it, some of the companies here are been around for a while, legacy, you still have a lot of data on-prem. So that focus on cloud security and migration has been a major focus of the last few security trends that I've seen within hiring.
That's really interesting. So is that maybe that seems to align with the geographic industry that you're in? Do you think that's across the nation or is that just specific to maybe the New York area?
Well, it could be really just about the companies that I'm working with now. Mm-hmm. However, this sort of ties into something that we're definitely going to speak about a little later on. And that is, what are some of the roles that companies are having the hardest time filling? And it really does align with cloud security, software security. I think what everyone is doing is that the industries that are hiring are the ones that are more established versus the ones that I used to work with, which, you know, are still Series A to mm-hmm. D startups in the San Francisco Bay Area. They have sort of paused on expanding their security team.
So that kind of segues into the next question, which is, how has that demand for cyber professionals changed this year in the last couple years too? Have you seen it go up or down?
Well, I'll tell you, 2020, even though the whole world shut down, recruiting in cyber shut down for just a few months, and then it was like just everything and everyone. All of our clients were asking for multiple roles at a time, and we brought on a lot of clients as well. Now, within the last year, in terms of recruiting, in terms of new clients, we did see a slowdown. And the elephant in the room is the looming recession. Is it going to happen? Is it not? With that, everyone had tight pockets. So some of the trends and some of the changes that I've seen in the last few years is that 2020, 21, 22, great years for recruiting and great years mm-hmm. for a lot of companies expanding teams. Three, at least from a recruiting in 2023, at least from a recruiting perspective, in financial services, those were the companies that they expanded, and SaaS-based companies did not.
All right. So Stephanie, switching gears a little bit, from your perspective, what are some of the most sought after skills for candidates companies are asking?
Right now, it's cloud security, and it's still, right? The last 5+ years, we've seen a major shift in public cloud. So it's architecture and design, cloud within AWS, GCP, or Azure. A few years ago, it was only AWS. Azure and GCP were sort of okay if you had experience with them. However, the skills that they were looking for were within AWS. Now it's all three. It does not matter if you have more experience within GCP. They will still look at your background because they think it's relevant. And in terms of outside of cloud security and of some of the sought after skills, I still would say that it's automation in Python or basic scripting in Python. If you have that experience, it's going to be very relevant for incident response. Detection rules is something that I see in a lot of those incident response roles, meaning that the hiring managers are looking for someone that can write detection rules and customize some of the existing tools in their environment in Python.
Building on that, just out of curiosity, have you started to see an uptick in AI-related requests or anything around security AI platforms?
Absolutely. I would say that a lot of our more, not the legacy companies, but we're talking about more, you know, progressive companies. they're starting to have a main focus on securing the usage of AI. We recently did engage with a firm that had a little oops moment where, you know, someone on their team was using the function and unfortunately shared certain data. And of course, we all know that all of those applications retain that data. They copy it. So we have seen a small uptick. I don't think it's the uptick that we thought was going to happen, but it is still the beginning of the year. And so with that, I think will also come regulations, not only from the internal to a company, but also from the federal government.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, not to divert the topic. A lot of companies still don't know what they want to do with AI, so they're kind of holding off on going too far down the road with AI. So I think there's probably a floodgate that's going to open in terms of requests for people that have ideas, thought leadership, and plans around how to fix a process that didn't blow up at some point in the somewhat near future.
Right. And I also think it's important to note that, you know, when we say AI, we're not just talking about like one application like ChatGPT, right? AI has been around for a long time, and it's just how companies use it. However, I think the major focus or what everyone keeps talking about is how people have used GPT. I think now as companies continue to explore that technology and how it could help, it's definitely going to be a sought after skill. Securing how you use these applications and how you use the technology within your environment.
And aligning with that, are there any certifications that have that cloud focus, or is it more the general CISSPs, the TIAs still that are standing out with certifications, the cyber roles you're seeing?
So I will be very honest, it's few and far between that hiring managers will ask me very specifically that they're looking for someone with a certification. It definitely is still about experience and hands-on experience, whether you have it or, and I'm talking about experience, you know, within like a corporate environment. If you have it within a lab, I think that's still very relevant too. It's just how you showcase it. Sure. And from a certification standpoint, CISSP, definitely. It's an added bonus. Now, if we're talking about more within the sector, we do work with a lot of companies that engage that are federal contractors. CISSP is definitely one that they actually would require.
Yeah.
Now, outside of that, we also have CISA, the Certified Information Systems Auditor, and then the CISM, the Certified Information Security Manager. I would say those are the major ones that we get asked for. The other certifications that align with cloud, like a solutions architect within AWS or like a cloud practitioner, it's not something that hiring managers will ask us for. Is it an added bonus?
Yeah.
Sure. But it's not going to, but it's good to have. Exactly.
It's not like you're out of the job if you don't have it.
Exactly.
Stephanie, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to get their first role in cybersecurity?
You know, I get this question a lot, and I always answer it with another question. If I were in front of someone and they were to ask me that, I would have to ask them, where do you see yourself? you first need to identify the domain that you see yourself, right? When you think of cybersecurity, we're talking about application security, cloud, software, incident response, you know, analysis, security research, threat intel. There's so many different subsets within security that you can go to, even more like the policy route, GRC. Mm-hmm. So I always back that up with another question. It's like, where do you want to go first? Because once you identify the path that you'd like to be on, then you will understand the skills that you need. You know, for example, if you want to be an application security, then you look at some of the responsibilities and some of the skills that people are looking for. And by people, I mean hiring managers. They're looking for someone that understands and can read software, someone that can do threat modeling, remediation guidance. So when you back that up to the core, you need to understand first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that can be said for any sector of security. So I think that the person that's trying to ask that question really needs to identify what they want to do first.
Sure.
I kind of answered it with another question, but
that's a really good insight. And it, kind of along with that, is cybersecurity professionals or wannabes make that choice. What are those areas we talked about, cloud? What are those areas that are the hardest to fill right now? The gaps maybe in the workforce?
Yeah, and that still aligns with, you know, the same sentiment. It's cloud security engineers, architects, and most recently, it's been incident response engineers. Now, I always like to ask this question back. It's, you know, do you differentiate between detection and response and incident response?
Hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Incident response, detection. Well, and traditionally, I mean, probably depends on your organizational size. If you have the luxury of having multiple individuals, you may have one for each category of incident response. For larger organizations, I would assume it's probably several different categories, consistent with what you're saying?
I mean, what I believe and what I see is that much larger organizations and more robust security teams are looking for that detection and response person. And if you're a smaller organization, you're probably just going to look for a security engineer.
I mean, I think the skills can really cross into either one of those. It's easy to find someone that has skills in both areas, but in my opinion, they're really two different. So detection and response may lead to incident response, but you're always going to need somebody that is actively performing the detection and response. Incident response is, hey, you have to be prepared for it. You have to know how to handle it. You should have policies that drive behavior and business continuity plans and so on to support that activity. But hopefully you never have to do that. You're going to, hopefully you don't.
No, I totally agree with that. And hopefully you don't, but be prepared.
Right. Is that some of what you're seeing too, is like when an organization gets hacked or sees a lot of tick and cyber breaches, they're reaching out for people like you to recruit good cyber professionals?
Oh, yes. And it's absolutely that incident detection and response type person. Not only that, but then that also comes with the software security engineer. And that's someone seeing, depends where the breach was, right? Mm-hmm. For example, with the Okta breach, it was at the party. So that has a lot more to do with like the due diligence within a vendor rather than your actual code, rather than, you know, the product that you provide. So depending on the breach, I've seen an uptick. They have had an incident. Mm-hmm. It's an uptick in incident response.
That's interesting. So you can almost detect the cybersecurity workforce demand based on the emerging threats.
Absolutely. The emerging and continuing threats.
Yes.
That are out there.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Stephanie, do you have any insights on salary trends for cybersecurity field?
Yes, and I'm not sure if you're going to like this answer. The last year or so, I have been seeing a downturn in salaries. I mean, to be honest, I filled roles that are usually at the 200 plus mark for 160. And that's your first security hire, your security manager or head of security or director of security. Again, that is essentially a security engineer who can build and also lead an initiative, not necessarily lead a team yet. However, I've seen a lot of organizations ask for a lot and not pay enough. And with that, our team here at Lawrence Harvey, what we do is we actually have a deadline of 2 weeks to execute full search. And then we conduct a search report based on what we see, meaning, you know, we've reached out to X amount of people within our network. These are the people that are outside of our network. We spoke to X, and this is where they are in salary. If you'd like to fill your role, you either need to bring down expectations or some of the must-have requirements, or we need an increase in salary.
That's fascinating. So kind of moving into another section too, as people are more the entry level, kind of two questions and combine one. As people try to get into these job roles, what common mistakes do you see candidates making during the application or interview process? And then how do candidates stand out in that process?
So I think this is really important to focus on. I think number one, everyone needs to understand where they'd like to go first, what sector of security. Then you can look at your skills that are transferable into security. For example, if you are in the legal space and you brief contracts often, some of those skills are transferable into GRC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You understand frameworks, you understand policies and procedures. So what the main common mistake that a lot of people trying to get into cybersecurity do is that they don't expand on their existing skills already. They think they don't have any skills. And so they're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. And it's highlighting your skills and being able to not only do that, but pitch yourself, right? If you're in front of a hiring manager, you have to be able to tell them, I'm great for this role because of X, Y, and Z. I read on your job description that you look for someone to do this, and then talk about your experience. It might not align perfectly, but you can talk about some of the things that you've done that are transferable to the actual role. Not only that, but
I was just going to say, that's really interesting. There are a lot of people that cross from other fields into IT. Some of the best project managers I've ever met were teachers. You think about, what does a teacher do? Well, they're good at herding cats, right? And they also can build an effective lesson plan. That's similar to building a project plan. So it doesn't mean necessarily that any teacher could be a project manager, but a lot of times those skills translate very effectively to a different role out in the world. And there's plenty of areas. One of the things that we shared with a previous guest was, you have a lot of relevant experience that could help you get a job in places, and you're selling yourself short just because you didn't do one particular area of security. Think of all the other things that you did that meet the requirements in a job description, and don't be afraid to, you know, tailor your interview responses, or even, you know, tweak your resume a little bit. Don't lie, but tweak your resume to point out the things that align to a job description.
I agree. And that's it. Don't lie about your experience. However, make sure that you're highlighting some of the relevant skills based on the job description. Another tip that I like to give those people that are entry level or that are really trying to get into security is, it's how you answer a question that's really valuable and really important, and that's going to get you further into an interview process. For example, if they're asking you, do you have experience with Alien Vault? And you don't, and you've only played around, in a lab environment with Splunk. You don't just say, I don't have any experience with Alien Vault, and then finish your sentence there, correct?
Right.
You say, I don't have experience with Alien Vault. However, the relevant experience that I have is with another major provider, mm-hmm. Splunk, and I have it in a lab environment, and this is what I've done. Would you like me to elaborate? And that already creates a thought process to the hiring manager. That's okay. this person might not have the experience that, you know, with that specific tool. However, it's still very relevant. And not only that, but they can present themselves well.
That's really good. Yeah, I like that. Making yourself, you're basically selling yourself to these hiring managers in a winning way. And they're going to give you a problem. You want to make sure that you can show you can solve it. And that's great. And I think a lot of cyber professionals, that's really what we do. We solve problems, or we find problems to solve. And so that's great.
Not only you as a cyber professional, but myself as a recruiter, I find problems and I solve them.
Sure.
Because how I'm pitching somebody's background is the exact same way. They might not, you know, fit the bill 99.9%. Yeah. However, if at 80 or 75% mark, I'm still going to send him, because I think it's important that the hiring manager can have a wide variety of candidates to look at, because that 99.9% person might just not be a cultural fit. However, that 70% person could be spot on, and they could just have this great rapport, and it comes out that they want to hire them.
It's really good.
Most often, the easiest part of preparing a new employee is teaching a new tool or something technical. You can't go back and teach someone work ethic or organizational skills or a lot of things, at least quickly. You can say, oh, hey, you understand how to use SIM platform X. This is very similar. Here's some of the parallels, and get somebody up to speed really quickly. Whereas, like you mentioned, you finding someone that understands how to be part of a team, or you know, some of the other soft skills, can be much more difficult to work around a technical deficiency.
Absolutely.
So I think we only have a couple questions left. I guess we'll jump to, you touched on a little bit, any ideal career paths for someone that just wants to start out as an entry-level cybersecurity position, whether it be coming straight out of school or trying to dip their toe in for the first time?
Yes, security analyst is where everyone gets their start. Now, I'm going to have to confirm that with both of you, but everyone usually starts in a SOC. Or just being a security analyst on a smaller team where you're reviewing log reports rather than sitting in a security operations center. So I think that everyone needs to look at that and see if that's something that they'd like to do. That's going to be some of the most entry-level roles that you see out there. A security engineer, that's going to be someone that's going to come like a software background. It's still entry level, but you have to essentially understand a little bit more on the software side, not necessarily be a coder, but understand how software works, understand a little bit about the different languages versus a SOC analyst. You're looking at logs, right? You're looking at an environment. You're understanding the severity of each alert, and then you essentially decide where it goes. So you only see a small part, and then you shift to a different team.
Yeah, I think that's really invaluable. And two, I've seen a lot of value in just having a general IT knowledge. Like, I encourage people to like start with like almost a help desk or IT general. If they don't even have that background, that can be a little bit hard to even understand what those reports are. They may be able to kind of read it from a security perspective, but if they don't understand the back end and how the servers are interacting, they're not going to have that depth. So yeah, I agree. I think that's a great place to start. And then as well, bringing a little bit of general IT knowledge is also really helpful too.
A network engineer or a systems administrator.
Right, exactly. Almost even more relevant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, QA.
In any of those cases, I think a lot of times the personality that like really tries to get in and figure things out and understand things and there are just certain types of personalities when it comes to resolving issues or understanding things that lend themselves well to more of an analyst or an engineer role. Doesn't mean they can't be good in IT if they don't have that. But certain things, you really have to have that inquisitive nature, desire to understand how something works and why it works the way it works, and build upon what you learn and understand, those are the people that really end up stepping into a security role and kind of blowing your mind with the way they think about things and the approaches they take.
I mean, at the end of the day, we all have to be passionate about what we do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important that you are passionate and that you love what you're learning, because that will spark or a continued interest in understanding different areas of security. Personally, I love this area. I've been asked to shift focus. You know, when I joined Lawrence Harvey, it's not only security. We don't only have a security team, but we have other brands as well. And I was asked if I would ever be interested in moving. You know what? No. I love security. I'm passionate about it. I can't stop talking about it. And it's almost at the point where, you know, I talk about breaches and I talk about this really cool subject that I just had someone teach me about. I recently spoke with someone about micro-segmentation, and personally, you know, not being a practitioner, I asked them to dive very deep into that. And I can't say I retained everything. However, I was very intrigued. So it's always about wanting to continue learning. And whether you start in IT or help desk or network or sysadmin, it's eventually going to propel you there if you're actually passionate about learning all of the different areas.
That's so key. And I think that's such a wonderful conclusion area. And you just did an awesome job, Stephanie, setting the framework from getting into the cyber field and then just that passion that I think is really important to have drive us in the profession. Any final thoughts for us for anybody listening out there to get into the industry or just find that passion in cybersecurity?
Yes. Don't give up. I know the job market right now is a little tough. Mm-hmm. I think something that we didn't touch on is, you know, remote versus being on site. If you have the ability to be near a metro area, or if you are open to relocation, it is going to open up a lot more doors for you. At the moment, those remote positions that you see are so saturated with other people who are only looking for remote, or, you know, during the pandemic moved to the Midwest somewhere, or moved to Texas or Florida. So don't give up. Really open up the avenues of what you're looking for and take a risk. New York's not that bad.
It's great advice. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a very informative, enlightening episode. We really appreciate your willingness to join us for a little bit of time and share your insights.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for inviting me. And I look forward to keeping in touch. Anyone that wants more advice or would like to just connect, I'm sure we can share a link.
Yeah, we'll be sure to tag you on the post when we get the episode live so you can reach out.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you.